Don't you laugh at me.
Give me my money back.
Yes, you are.
You can quit her.
Me.
And it's already out of my account, and I can show you that you've already taken my, give me my cash. And if I end up on YouTube, I will personally sue your ass.
Hello, this is your girl, Sonia D, and I am the mad chronically ill girl. I'm here with you for another episode, probably the last episode of this month of October. First, let me do a little bit of apologizing for taking so long to produce another episode. We've talked about my struggle with trigeminal neuralgia, and I've been having some issues with that. I've been facing a lot of pain lately, and have been laying in the bed, doing many things, but not podcasting. For those of you who are familiar with me, I am also a published author. You can find my books on Amazon.com. I'm currently writing a new one. Please look for it when it is completed. I'll let you know. The title is called The Circassian Girls. That sounds interesting, right? And it will be an interesting and awesome addition to my collection of published works. So let's get into it, okay? So again, we're going to apologize again in advance for the very grim topic that we're going to discuss today. But I find it pretty sad that it has to be discussed at all. I mean, we live in a society where these things are commonplace and almost to be expected. In August, the United States suffered 2 mass shootings practically back to back. At the time, I was in the hospital and I watched in amazement that these shootings took the lives of innocent Americans doing the same things that we all do every day. I watched the news that there were 2 other events that these two events happened, where mass shootings took place and you saw these massive Americans running at the sound of what appeared to be gunfire. But they turned out to be actually innocent. They weren't mass shootings. They were just these mass events. One happened, I believe, in Utah. The other was in Times Square. And people just thought they heard gunfire, but it turned out not to be that. So what have we done to ourselves? The next question is, where do disabled individuals find themselves in cases of mass shootings? Where do we fall in? The answer, in the line of fire. And I mean that literally. When it comes to mass shootings, we find that there are some mostly on the right that like to blame the mentally ill for these shootings. However, we know that most mass shooters are not mentally ill. What does this talk do to actually mentally ill Americans? It stigmatizes them. It places a large, pardon the pun, target on their backs. Where could this lead? Now, I'm not in favor of slippery slope arguments, but this could possibly lead to more mentally ill Americans perhaps losing their freedoms. Even when misinformed people tend to link mentally ill people with violent acts, bad things can happen. The vast majority, and hear this, the vast majority of people living with mental illness in this country are not violent, and they will never commit a violent act in their life. In fact, statistics show the complete opposite, that people with mental illness are more likely to be victims of violence instead of perpetrators. That's all mentally ill people have become, scapegoats. See, if we could push this off on mentally ill people, then we could have a discussion about, hey, let's stigmatize them. Let's get them. Let's put the blame on them instead of looking at our own society, even looking at guns, to see where we went wrong. Mentally ill people have become a far too easy scapegoat in this conversation. What about those of us with physical disabilities? We're in the line of fire, literally. Not in the same way. But what happens to us when we're out and about and we hear gunshots? What do? So I found an article titled, What to Do When There's an Active Shooter, and it's from the New York Times, and it is dated from 2018. The article states that the odds You personally will be a victim of a mass shooting or low. And that the simple guideline that experts have agreed on are run, hide, fight. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to ask you to put yourself in a very difficult situation at this time. I'm going to ask you to do something that I probably won't ask you to do in the future, maybe. But I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and put yourself in this situation. If you are disabled, or even if you aren't, I'd like you to imagine just how your specific disability would affect your decisions here. Because in a moment, you're going to make a lot of them in a very short period of time. If you are uncomfortable with this exercise, please feel free to skip forward 5 minutes into this podcast, because this could be difficult for some of you. Now, those of you who have decided to stay with us, thank you. And you're still listening to my voice, if you will, close your eyes. If you are driving, please pay attention to the road, please, and thank you. But we are all together right now in a shopping mall. It's around Christmas time and we're all buying gifts for our loved ones, and there are tons of people around you in a mall. Can you hear them? I'm in a wheelchair person, as you know, so I'm with you in this mall. And I'm rolling around as I normally do, looking at the sites, checking out everything, trying to see where those sales are. When suddenly, out of nowhere, you hear gunshots. You turn around and you see all the people around you practically freeze. Because this is what most people do when they hear gunshots or anything else. They freeze. Where do you go? You hear that sound and you almost instinctively figure out what it is, but your mind is telling you, wait, that's not what I just heard. But studies show that actually during a chaotic event, we tend to look at each other to see what other people are doing. So if other people are still shopping and ignoring the noise, then chances are you may do the same too. Now, not all of us, because some people who are trained, they know the sound of gunshots when they hear it. So it just depends literally around the people who you happen to be standing near. But you hear that sound again. There it is. It's unmistakable. It's gunfire. A few people start to run, and then the rest of people run, and all hell breaks loose. But where do you go? Where? Now, you are probably out shopping and you may be with people, but for the sake of this exercise, you're alone. Now, for some of you who are listening who cannot travel alone, imagine your caregiver is standing next to you, just for the sake of this exercise here. Now, let's go back to our New York Times article. The experts in the article say you need to escape. That's your first bet. Take notice of the exits. Okay? You're quite familiar with this mall, so you know where the exits are. However, what if you're on the second floor of the mall and you need to get down? Things will become a lot harder for you now. In this case, if you could get to the doors, get there. Just make sure that the gunfire is not in that direction, okay? Because I don't think I need to say this, but you don't run towards the bullets, okay? Now, get to the doors as fast as you can. Being in a wheelchair could be quite cumbersome for you, or a walker, or a cane. But for those of you who have wheels, you might be able to get there faster than a lot of people. Get low, and if you have your caregiver, have them roll you out those doors and get to cover as fast as you can. And thank your lucky stars, you just survived a mass shooting event. Okay? But what if you can't, and you're on the second or even the third floor of the mall? Well, let's see what the experts say here. Okay? Don't use the elevators. Take the stairs. Windows are an option. The article takes care to notice that the students from Virginia Tech who escaped the gunman in 2007, they did so by jumping from second floor windows. But you're in a wheelchair, or you use a walker or a cane, okay? You can't just fling yourself out of a window. So what do? Those shots are getting closer. Your best bet is to run inside of a large store if you can and hide. Now these are my instructions here, because the article doesn't take into account disabled people. It talks only about able-bodied people. So I'm no expert. Now I'm pretending to be one, but I'm going to try and see if we can fix this a little bit so that it can help people with disabilities. Okay, so your best bet is to run inside of a large store if you can and hide. Perhaps maybe you can go to a food court. In a food court, they often have kitchens and many places where you can hide or go. Sometimes the food court has exits that leave out to garbage where they can, you know, take out the garbage, throw out the garbage bins and things like that. Maybe you could get into those areas. That could be, you know, the possibility. There was an incident once in Kenya where these terrorists attacked a large shopping mall. And I watched on camera as some of these people took up positions in some of the strangest places. But hey, it worked, because those people survived the event and they were able to go home and tell the story. Some people had children with them, and babies crying were sometimes a dead giveaway. So it was quite frightening to watch. But many people did survive the incident just by hiding, finding a place to hide, or getting out as soon as possible. Okay, so my tip is to look for people who work there, security guards that know the mall like the back of their hand. You could save your own life if you think clearly and smart. Don't panic. Even though if there's any situation in your life you're ever going to deal with that calls for panic, this will probably be it. But panic will get you killed. Okay? If you see people standing around kind of unsure, because not everybody's going to know what's going on, okay? Just yell gun or gunman and keep moving. But our article continues. Now, this is the scary part, because if you happen to meet up with the gunman and you're face to face with him, it says if you're in a gunman's line of sight, run in a zigzag or from cover to cover. But we're in a wheelchair. We use a walker, we use a cane. These things are going to be hard for you to do. The only thing you could do, ladies and gentlemen, is perhaps dive for cover if you can, or hope you could get down just low enough. Depending on your injury, you may be able to crawl on your belly. If none of those are options for you, then there could be very little you could do if you're face to face with this gunman. You know, this may be a time where you may be able to use your smarts instead of your physical ability, especially if you're lacking in the latter. Okay? There will be many people around you. So instead of just hiding, deny access. Now, this is something I can get behind. What does this mean? Dart into a room and barricade it. Okay? A gunman, and I hate to speak in stark terms, but we have to. Okay? It's time that we speak clearly and say what we mean in clear terms. A gunman who is looking for a high body count will probably not waste so much time trying to get through a barricade. It's going to slow him down. He's going to try locked doors or doors that may have chairs and things in front of him, and then move on. Okay? It's important to move yourself from his line of sight. Now, some of you may ask, hey, what about playing dead? Okay. Now, that may not be a good idea. The Orlando shooter shot into the bodies of those who were on the ground several times. It is believed one young lady did this, and she was killed that way. However, in 2012, a teacher remained motionless after being shot in the leg by a student, and that killer moved on. So, I'm not sure if that's something you want to do. It could be dangerous. It could work. Hey. Whatever you do at that moment, because your chances and your choices are running out here, and you're going to have to play your instinct. And many times your instinct is going to be right. So go with your gut. Go with your instinct. So when you hole up in a space, you turn off the lights and you stay as quiet as you can. Get down. Get low. Last resort, the article states, fight. Again, this isn't really practical for people with disabilities. Fight. Now, but we're going to, you know, tweak this article to help people with disabilities. So this could be problematic, you know, not just people with physical disabilities, people who have processing disorders, auditory disorders. It can make it very difficult to understand all of the ramifications of their actions. Okay, if you have physical limitations, it could be difficult for you to, you know, figure out what to do. And for you and others, security is in numbers. Okay, security is in numbers. You have a better chance of surviving these incidents if you find large groups of people or medium, at least a medium group of people that you could get with and you guys can strategize to say, okay, what's the best way we could do? We can barricade ourselves in this room. We can, you know, run. But it's easier to probably try and hide in the situation if you can't get straight to the door because you don't have the information that everyone else may have. There could be multiple attackers. So if you choose to run into the hall from one attacker and you're running into another and one just run, like in the Kenya mall shooting situation, you're back in a world of crap, okay? So if you find yourself facing a gunman, you use ammunition. And not the ammunition you're probably thinking of, like a gun. Clothing racks, heavy objects. Something, throw it at him. Do whatever you can. Because I'm guaranteeing you, if he's ducking, he's not shooting. If he's ducking a chair or a desk or whatever that's going at him, he cannot shoot you, okay? And there could be someone in your group that could maybe be brave enough to tackle him while he's ducking. If someone's throwing, and that's giving him cover for the other guy to rush him, maybe that could work. And that will give other people time to escape. When the police arrive, you can now breathe a sigh of relief. However, this isn't the time to hug your police officers. This isn't the time to even speak with them. This is your time to show them, I am not a threat. So if you can, put your hands up. If you can't, then hey, do what you can. But this isn't a time to go, oh my God, thank you, you saved me, and run into his arms. No. You want to show the police that you aren't a threat. So don't do any rash movements like taking off or running or, you know, doing whatever you want or reaching out for a police officer. That's a no-no, okay? This is not the time to try and talk to them, okay? So as we have seen our little exercises over here, but more often than not, these plans that experts have come up with never, ever seem to take into account disabled people. As we saw in the article, many of the suggestions that they gave us were completely impractical without some kind of tweaking. Alarmingly, in 2017, a school district was sued after one student in a wheelchair was left behind in the school while everyone else was evacuated during this unplanned incident. This poor child was just left behind because there was no contingent plan for disabled kids to get them out of danger, okay? Door barricades, lockdown plans, these actually wind up hurting people with disabilities. How is a child in a wheelchair going to get around the barricade that's already been set up? What are we saying? Those with other mobility issues, those with processing disorders, having their senses overwhelmed or inability to remain still or quiet can pose challenges. What are we saying to disabled people? That their lives are not good enough to save? Are we saying we're going to leave the disabled people behind to their own devices for them to figure it out? Because disabled people have been doing that all our lives. We've had to figure it out. We have to figure everything out because we live in a world that isn't made or designed for us. And we continue to be left out of these plans, these contingency plans, because there's nothing there for us. We're constantly figuring these things out. So I don't have all the answers, okay? I'm asking you, the disabled and chronically ill community, to think right now. right now what you're going to do when the next incident happens. You should be putting these plans into play right now. Even if it requires you to go and go to malls during off times, early or late, you know, going with other people, coming up with a plan for your loved ones in case you ever find yourself in this situation. There are two elements at play here. Stop stigmatizing those with mental illness and to incorporate disabilities into disaster plans so that people, all people, can survive these events. During one shooting, a woman trying to get her disabled husband to safety was cut down in gunfire. Okay, there was no plan for him. In the El Paso shooting, a child who used a wheelchair was lifted out by his parents and led to safety. However, an elderly gentleman was able to use that child's wheelchair and get to safety himself. So I did learn that the child in the wheelchair was reunited. I believe I spoke about that in another episode. I think about this all the time. I think of what I would do if I were out with my family or even if I were by myself if chaos broke out. Now, I am a gun owner and I do have a license to carry, and I like to think that this could offer me some sort of protection, but I'm no fool. It may not. I'm not suggesting that everyone go out and get guns to protect themselves. I'm just saying this is what I have for me. But this is a tricky subject, and we can't let all of these experts forget about us when it comes to making the contingency plans. Disabled people do a great job taking care of themselves, ourselves, and looks like in this case, again, like I said, we're going to have to figure this out again. We need to write the people in charge. We need to talk to our congressmen and say, hey, if you're not going to protect us from this issue, then you don't deserve to be in office. They cannot afford to forget us. There has to be a plan to get everyone to safety, or else we're just heading for the next disaster completely unprepared, running blind, unable to see, and that's exactly what these monsters want to see. And that's the show for today. I'm sorry for the grim topic, but we need to discuss it. I am the Mad Chronically Ill Girl. Please subscribe to my podcast and look out for my article on this topic, published on Medium.com under my name, Sonya D, where I continue my thoughts on this subject. So I thank you for listening.